You know something? New York City's really falling apart, and between the asylum crisis and the crime crisis and the housing crisis, some people say the city is finished. But what nobody's talking about is what happens after that. So I will.
Come on, man!
If you take public transit, there's a decent chance you've already noticed them on your morning commute. National Guard members doing random bag checks in the subway system.
Crime has been at the forefront of many people's minds after several MTA workers were recently attacked.
This comes after 14 buses arrived from Texas in just one night last week, the highest number recorded by the arrival center.
I spend more than half of my income on my rent.
Overpriced.
It's high.
A new report from Street Easy says the average New York City renter must earn about $134,000 a year.
Paramedics and police officers tried to pull the woman from under the train.
Where's all these National Guard that they said that they were going to come? Where's the safety? Where's the protection?
So nobody wants to see a headline like this and have it be about their city. But the reality is you can find stuff like this about New York every week. Now look, I've been covering the major crises going on in New York for a long time now, and they've all got one thing in common which nobody's talking about. But to understand what that is, we've got to look at the real reasons why all of these things are taking place, because once you know what those are, the commonality between all of them will make sense. And the other alarming thing I've realized is that New York City is home to over 8 million people. And if the city's in trouble, so are they. And what happens after that failure could change people's lives forever. For example, let's take the housing crisis. The rents here are so high that a normal person with a normal job can't live in certain parts of the city, and it's only getting worse. The working class is being forced out. What does that mean for the future of the city? This is the stuff I've been thinking about. On top of that, the city's in the middle of a crime wave. The National Guard was just deployed to the subways, and the humanitarian asylum crisis that the city's experiencing doesn't look like it's gonna end at all. In fact, it's only continuing to get worse. So on the other side of these trucks, we've got the Roosevelt Hotel, and this is one of the city's shelters for asylum seekers, but it's also the processing center for new arrivals when they first come to New York. And about 180,000 people have come here since this crisis started, which is an insane number of folks. And as I've been covering this crisis, one thing has kind of jumped out at me as being very strange. And that's because the reason people can come to New York and get a spot in a hotel like this is because the city has laws that guarantee housing to anyone who asks. And the thing that's really strange about this is the city doesn't have a limit to right to shelter. No, it's unlimited. And since an unlimited number of people may end up deciding to come here, the city's goal could end up being that they have to house an unlimited number of people for an unlimited period of time. How are they gonna do that? Now, I don't blame the people who are here for seeking asylum in the US. Many of these folks are fleeing extreme poverty, but I don't know how the city or state are gonna be able to afford this forever. And some of the contracts for various shelters actually have leases that approach 9 years in length. So the officials here definitely intend for this to go on for quite some time.
But how the city's gonna afford this, I have no idea.
Now, New York's right to shelter rules are pretty old. They go back to the 80s, and some people originally thought that they only applied to New Yorkers. But New York is a sanctuary city, which means by default, right to shelter applies to everyone.
But what's fascinating is the city tries to get out of their right to shelter requirements every single chance they get.
Now, what most people don't know is part of New York's right to shelter rules include a clause that says if you bring somebody here for the purposes of them taking advantage of right to shelter, you've done something illegal. That's why New York City sued those Texas bus companies, because they brought people here. But they're not suing the cartels, they're not suing all of the other groups that help people get into the United States and make their way here. And at the same time, they're promising room and board to everybody, but they do such a lousy job of it, it's almost like they wish they weren't making that promise. They have this arduous system of reapplication where after people get evicted from the shelters after 30 days or 60 days if they're a family because they're so full, single adults have to go wait in line, sometimes for days on the street for a bed to open up. It's like they created a system that's so bad they hoped nobody would use it even while promising to provide it.
The point I'm making is that the city's implementation implementation of policies they claim to be proud of is very disjointed and reactive.
So in essence, the city has this right to shelter program that sounds great, but their way of carrying it out is not great.
And it's almost like the city finds itself in an interesting position because a combination of its laws
are all being applied in a manner that nobody who passed them ever expected.
And the city's endgame isn't the only thing I have some serious concerns about. The other thing that's tough to swallow is that every asylum seeker is being exploited.
And a great example of that is this hotel. It was bankrupt during 2020, and then the city came along and said, hey, we'll pay you a lot of money, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, to turn it into a shelter. And you know what? This humanitarian crisis is the best thing to ever happen to this place.
And the cartels are making money off all the people they bring into the country. Ditto the bus companies that were making bank off the Texas government.
But it's not just the hotels and the bus companies or the food companies. I found out that even the company that's going to supply the prepaid debit cards that some of the families that live in buildings like this are going to get to go out and buy their own food, they make a percentage based on the amount of money that the city hands out. So even that business has a reason for this crisis to go on forever and to not actually have real solutions in place to solve it. Is it a private business's job to solve a country's border crisis? Probably not. But now that you've got money feeding into this system, there's going to be stakeholders that don't want it to go away. And that's a big problem. Will it destroy the city? Well, maybe not. But it's certainly going to change it.
And every outcome we've just discussed is the result of a bad reactive decision. Because the city guaranteed people a right to shelter without planning for situations like what we're encountering today.
And look at this, city leaders aren't stupid. The mayor knows right to shelter is going to bankrupt the city. He's even said as much. But even now, he's not asking for it to be eliminated, just adjusted. And he won't say specifically what those adjustments are. So he could mean anything. We have no idea.
But that's probably because 80% of the city is in favor of right to shelter, as it keeps people from sleeping on the streets.
Which would be horrible. Nobody wants to see that.
But when I take a step back and I look at how the city's handling the asylum crisis, it makes me think the city's putting itself in a position where it's just going to have to keep cutting its spending
in order to balance its budget, because the city can't spend money that it doesn't have.
But that's a huge problem, because right now the city's in the middle of a crime wave.
And the city has so few resources available to deal with it that even though the National Guard has been deployed to the subways, it's not making much of a difference. So crime throughout the entire city has been rising over the last 6-8 months, and it's been particularly bad down here in the subway, so bad that National Guard troops, along with state police and increased regular police, are in the subway to a degree that they haven't been in a while, but they're not here right now. There's no bag checks going on, and that's very strange, because you'd think that if there's a crime problem, you'd want the police and the bag checks all the time, but they're only really here during rush hour. They pack up and leave once they've done their work for the day.
And what's interesting about that is, although the city looks like it has a crime problem, they don't really seem to be serious about doing anything about it. Also, the number of National Guard resources are 750 personnel, but the city has over 400 subway stations, which doesn't leave enough people to cover every single one. I mean, yeah, you could put two troops at each station, but how well is that going to work out?
But the real reason the city is in a crime crisis is because they've got these laws that stop prosecutors from locking up criminals and removing them from the street after they've been arrested for doing something wrong. And those are the city's bail reform laws. And you know, New York is the only state where a judge can't look at somebody who's got a long rap sheet, maybe a Mike Tyson face tattoo, and say, you know what, they might be dangerous.
And then make a decision to hold that person without bail or at extremely high bail.
And the problem with that is it essentially defeats all of the work of the police department and now the National Guard.
Because many criminals now get arrested in New York for committing even violent crime and are then released on their own recognizance with the promise to return to court at a later date.
Now you might be thinking that if you were a judge in New York, you'd look at somebody, you'd realize that they were dangerous, and you'd come up with some other reason to hold them, maybe some technicality or this or that, but I've got news for you. If that's how you think, you're not going to get nominated as a judge in New York, and you want to know why? The mayor wouldn't support your nomination as a judge. And this is New York's former two-term progressive mayor, Bill de Blasio. Some people think he was even more progressive than Mayor Adams is. who's not really a progressive, and he's a former police officer.
And not everybody knows that Mayor Adams isn't the mayor that signed off on New York's controversial bail reform laws. That was the former mayor. These were signed into law back in 2019.
And as a two-term mayor, he also presided over the appointment of many judges here in the city who met his standards for success.
And the point of all this is that New York is a city with very progressive laws and very progressive judges who interpret those laws.
And prior to New York becoming as progressive as it is today, we didn't have the same types of crime problems that we have today. So maybe these two are related, which means safety in the city could continue to decrease, unfortunately.
Look at this. We recently had a subway musician get hit in the head with a bottle. And after that happened, the woman who attacked him was arrested but released without bail. And then within the next 2 weeks, she was arrested again for shoplifting.
And we don't want to see people's lives get destroyed because they were wrongfully prosecuted and convicted of something that never happened. But at the same time, nothing is being done to keep people who are dangerous from striking again.
And what that means is New York has the same problem with bail reform that it has with the asylum crisis.
Which is that the city passed a whole bunch of laws that sounded great at the time they were passed, but now are involved in circumstances that nobody ever envisioned. I'm not saying these laws aren't without their benefits. They do have some benefits, but you've got people taking advantage of them, and there's no real way to stop that from happening. And that's putting everybody in the city at risk.
And what could end up happening is that crime in New York gets so bad that they have to start rolling out the National Guard to more and more parts of the city, which would essentially make New York more of a police state than it already is.
Think about this. You could even find yourself in a position where you get searched to go anywhere or do pretty much anything. Because searching people and then arresting them will be the only way to control crime. Temporarily, because those folks are, again, going to be free pretty soon.
But to be honest, I'm happy to see more security in the trains. I'm happy to see police driving down the street, even if it's a traffic cop.
And the presence of someone nearby whose job it is to keep the general public safe is something that I'm in favor of. It's just too bad that it has to be the National Guard, because now people are getting searched. We've lost some of our privacy. We've lost some of our rights. And as you lose your rights, you never really figure out how to get them back. That's how rights work. Once they're gone forever.
But just as crime is surging and out of control, so are New York City's rents.
And that's a problem, because if average people can't live in this city, it's gonna change completely in ways that are truly terrifying. Those right there are the affordable apartments. Too bad they're all rented. In fact, only 1% of the city's available housing is available to live in.
If you don't live in it already.
And when you add a housing crisis on top of a crime crisis, on top of a humanitarian crisis the city is trying to manage all by itself, you're creating an unlivable city for normal people.
In fact, the average rent for an apartment hit $5,600 a month last year. And since the housing crisis is still with us, rents are likely to be even higher this year. Even to live in a building that's over 100 years old with no elevator. And the reason you still have four-story, 100-year-old buildings in a city with skyscrapers is because these can't be any higher than they already are.
No, because of zoning, these have to be like this forever, or at least without special permission from the city.
And that's why you'll see something like this that looks like it's out of a black and white movie, just sitting on the side of a New York City street surrounded by massive towers. Now, I've had my real estate license here in the city since 2008.
And although rents have always been expensive, what's crazy is there are fewer and fewer and fewer jobs
that you could get which would allow you to move here and not have to have a roommate immediately. And that's because rents in these sorry old buildings are outpacing most people's incomes, especially starting salaries.
Now, when I first moved here, I was an accountant and I barely made enough money to have my own place. I don't think it's possible for accountants not to have roommates anymore.
And if you're not in the tech world or in the finance world, you're probably not making enough fresh out of college to be able to live on your own and provide for yourself after getting a 4-year or 6-year degree. I guess at least with a bunch of roommates, you guys can live like this and do this in your kitchen together. But in all seriousness, we shouldn't have these little one-story garages on a street like this.
But the reason they exist and this empty lot across the street exists
is because building or doing anything here in the city is next to impossible. And that's why pretty soon the front door to your $6,000 apartment will have a no trespassing sign from Home Depot right on the door. And no security cameras. And while all this is happening, we keep hearing from politicians about how the city's gonna rezone parts of town and make it easier to build stuff. And we keep hearing about how the city's going to start letting people live in commercial spaces. But what nobody's talking about is that these are still incredibly difficult to convert because the changes that the city is rolling out don't go far enough. And the amount of money required to make something like this into a legal place to live, which lines up with all the rules for how big bedrooms have to be, how many windows there have to be, how many exits there have to be, that costs so much money, most landlords don't think it's worth it, and they'll wait, they'll let their places sit empty. And while this is an extreme example of the housing inefficiency here, things are not any different in the offices upstairs. They have all the same rules, and they're just as difficult to convert and turn into anything useful. But there's another problem with building more buildings in a city like New York, and that problem is because there might not be the infrastructure to build them. Sure, the empty space to build some long, narrow, tiny building might be there, if you really know where to look. But the problem is that New York City has already built itself beyond its current sewer capacity. And look at this, last September, the city had flooding that was so bad, subway terminals, streets, everything just swamped over. And this has a lot to do with why tiny little one-story stores like this will always be here. The New York City sewer system's over 100 years old. If you build more buildings up here, all the way up to the sky, think about it. Every single apartment in this building, when they flush their toilets, it goes down. Down into the ground, into the city sewers, which have never received adequate investment. And think about this. If you're a politician and the city that you run is running out of money, the dumbest thing that you could do during your 4 or possibly 8 year term as mayor would be to spend money creating traffic jams by digging up all the roads for 4 years straight. Traffic's already bad enough here, and all people would do is complain about how you've got nothing to show for all of the money you're spending. And sewer-related maintenance is the kind of thing you could always defer to your predecessor. Let them deal with the curse of a city that can't build anything because its sewers are over capacity. That's the new American way. Leave all of the problems you have for somebody else to fix. And as a matter of fact, I spoke to somebody in housing and preservation, and they told me that the reason they can't have more housing in certain parts of town is because those sewers are so full, everything's gonna explode. So the city is actively aware of this, but it's not something that's actively being dealt with because politically the capital for it's not there, even if the money might have been there at one point. And unfortunately, what that means is that the city is only going to get more and more and more expensive. It's gonna become a place where you have to be rich to live as if you weren't. And that's gonna be the only condition for survival here. And sadly, that means many families and working class individuals will be priced out of the city altogether. And that's gonna create major problems for the city's economy. Like, think about it. The people who bring your food to the grocery store, where are they gonna live? What about your police? We've already got a shortage of police. The starting pay for an officer is $45,000 a year. That's not enough money for New York.
And it's the same issue with sanitation. We've got shortages there. That's why there's bags of garbage on the street. And what I think is sad is that New York is a city that relies on everyday working people to make it great, but it's becoming so much less accommodating to those same people, and now they've got nowhere to live. And that means if the city doesn't figure out how to change the direction that it's headed, the old New York that we're all used to, that will be finished and a new New York City will emerge, but it's not one that I think can exist, which means in the future, we're probably gonna see some big changes from the city that make New York a place for everybody. That's what I think. I don't know how long that's gonna take. What do you think? Thanks for watching. I'll see you in the next video.